or you can grab one of the pew in front of you and begin making your way to the book of Judges. We returned back to the book of Judges last week. Joshua walked us through the second of however many part series on Saved by a Woman. And today we make it back into the book of Judges. And remember our key indicator, our key verse, if you will, for the book of Judges, is in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Recall that we've talked in previous weeks past that the problem with that is there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads to death, according to Proverbs. The book of Judges covers a 350-year time period. From the time the Israelites leave the land of oppression, they wander 40 years through the desert, they walk into the promised land, and they have conquered the promised land, or at least made an attempt at conquering the promised land, as we'll see this morning. And it covers about a 350-year time period from that conquest until the time of the monarchy, or the time of the kings. There's no king in Israel at this time. Everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. And as we see in the book of Judges, it captures this four-stage cycle, a four-stage downward spiraling cycle. It captures the nation in their sin. From sin, we see them move into suffering. From suffering, they move into supplication or making prayer and crying out to God, and finally God sends a Savior. And that cycle in the book of Judges is repeated time and time again, and seven times, in fact, through there. But recall, 2 weeks ago, the book began to take a shift in Judges chapter 17. The book and the narrative have moved away from the time of the heroes, if you will, the judges that have been raised up to do heroic things for the nation of Israel. And what they've begun to do is take the lens and focus the lens on what were the people doing that caused them to enter this state of suffering? What was their sin like? Recall last week, we started to look at the apostasy, or 2 weeks ago, we looked at chapter 17. This morning will be in 18. That captures the apostasy in northern Israel, the northern portion of Israel. Chapters 19, 20, and 21, we will see, and you will have to brace yourself or skip the next 3 weeks, the moral perversity that begins to be pervasive in Israel at those times. And they do this all to detail, again, the idea that in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And again, by way of a review, to capture where we're sitting, to get the context, the message of chapter 17 was the same message that Christ presented to the woman at the well. Do you remember what Christ said to the woman at the well? He said, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. You've got to have the truth to worship the one true God. Now, what happens when you don't have that, because it's enough to be excited about God, or I should say it's not enough to be excited about God if the expression of that worship is not founded and based in the Word of God, in the truth of God. And all kinds of bizarre behavior can result from worship that's not established in the truth of God's Word. But more often than not, individuals don't fall into bizarre worship. You know, you're not going to go handling diamondback rattlesnakes. You don't go into strange worship, but what you do fall into is meaningless worship. And can I say this morning that meaningless worship is an offense to a holy God? Remember how we described it last week? I described it this way. I described it as fast food religion. All right, 2 weeks ago. You pull up to the first window and you say, I'll take a number one happy religion, supersize me. I'll have a side order of my frivolous wants, and for a drink, I'll take a diet God, easy on the conviction, please. And can you hurry up? I have to get back to my sin. Now remember what we saw in chapter 17. We saw a man by the name of Micah. And the irony about this name Micah is it means, who is like Yahweh? Who is like God? But what did we find in this man's house who is named who is like Yahweh? What did we find in Micah's house 2 weeks ago? We found a shrine, which is literally house of gods. We found an ephod, and most likely it's an object of worship. Gideon caused the same problem for the nation. We found household idols, idolatry. And we found that he had consecrated one of his sons to become his priest, which really marked his son for death, according to the book of Numbers. Now, you know, a Whataburger, you can have it your way. You really can. But God says, by those who come before me, I must be regarded as holy. Does anybody know the context of when God said that? He had just finished killing Aaron's two sons. And God said that to Moses, and Moses passed it on to Aaron. The scripture says Aaron held his peace. By those who come before me, I must be regarded as holy. I must be regarded as holy. As I was listening to music preparing late last night, I really actually started preparing last Sunday, started reading the commentaries for this section. The commentaries are real short in this portion. There just wasn't anything there. Anything in the commentaries. I spent so much time last night just enjoying, though, my time in the Scriptures. And as I prepare personally for the Scriptures, I've got an iPod with about 40 different praise songs that I like for preparing music. And one of the lines in one of the songs is, "Break my heart with what breaks yours. Let me have a heart that breaks with what breaks yours." Boy, if that doesn't cause you conviction about your own personal sin, nothing will. Folks, family idolatry in the house of Micah is about to expand to tribal idolatry among the tribe of Dan. And we're going to see that in Judges 18. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning and those you've brought. By your divine appointment, each and every person was carefully picked by you to be here, Father, for the message you're going to speak. And those that don't, Father, hopefully that there's a blessing to be missed because you step in. Because you empty me of me and fill me with you and speak what you want to your people during your time for your praise, for your glory, because this time is about you. God, help us to understand this passage. Give us insight. Give us application. We may walk away understanding that by those who come before you, you have to be regarded as holy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, you know what's interesting with the nation of Dan in Judges 18 is they really aren't too concerned about being holy because they're not real concerned about coming into the presence of God. By those who come before me, I must be regarded as holy. And if you don't have any intention of going before God, then your encounter with God is going to come at a later date. It will come at a later date. But Judges chapter 18, we find everything done, not the Whataburger way, but the wrong way. Judges 18 has outlined it into five different areas. Each is the wrong way. They obeyed the wrong way. They inquired the wrong way. They acquired, forgive me for emphasizing the word there, they acquired the wrong way. They pursued the wrong way. And they worshiped the wrong way. They got it all wrong. And they did it all the wrong way. Judges chapter 18, first two verses, they obeyed the wrong way. In those days there was no king in Israel. We've heard that quite often. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their inheritance was among the tribes of Israel, had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent five men of their family from their territory, men of valor, good, from Zorah and Eshtol, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, "Go search the land." You see, in those days, there's no king in Israel. The only portion they're emphasizing here is they're not emphasizing the second half of that verse. They're emphasizing the first portion that there's no king in Israel. And what this is doing is the absence of that second half, which we commonly quote, indicates that the emphasis was not so much on the sin of Israel, you know, everyone doing what's right in their own eyes, but there's a lack of unity stemming from a theocratic rule. There's no one to rally the troops, if you will. There's no one to say, "Let's get together, guys, and let's go take the land that God has promised." Remember, when they came into the promised land, there were 12 tribes. And each of the tribes, with the exception of the Levitical tribe, was given an area to take, to go and conquer. "You guys, go conquer this area. You guys, go conquer this area. You guys, go conquer this area." Every one of the tribes was told, "Go conquer an area. That is yours. That's given to you by God. That's given to you by God." But it says here that the Danites hadn't done that. So we've got this lack of unity from the theocratic rule, so that the nation of Israel was more organized as a colony of cockroaches when the light switched on, or maybe like a group of RA when the leaders say you're dismissed. They just poof. You know, it looks like cats when you holler bath time, right? They just took off. The nation had no king in Israel. They had no unity. They had no leader for that unity. But the passage tells us for that, until that day, their inheritance among the tribe of Israel had not fallen to them. They don't have their inheritance yet that God gave to them. Why? That's a very important point that we're going to have to look at this morning. Because the tribe of Dan has been allotted their inheritance in the land promised to them by the Lord. But the problem is they did not take the land that God had given to them. Hold your page with me there for a minute, and would you work your way to Judges chapter 1? Because we see something really fascinating in Judges chapter 1. And I'm going to walk us through what I will call the list of underachievers. The list of underachievers. God has said, "Go take it. Go get the land." Walk through with me. Verse 21 first. And let's see how these tribes are doing. Let's step back and see how the tribes are doing and going and conquering at the command of God, right? Verse 21 says, "But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem." So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Okay, so they didn't quite get it done. So they've got people dwelling among them who have idolatry. Well, let's look at verse 27. Let's see how Manasseh does. "However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and his villages of Tanakh." Wow. How about 29? "Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwell in Gezer." They didn't do it well either. Verse 30. "Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahal." So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put into tribute. Well, let's try verse 31. "Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Alco or the inhabitants of Sidon." So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites. Well, how about verse 33? "Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh." Do you get this picture here? The tribes aren't doing what God has said to do. These are the tribes of the underachievers. Dan doesn't even make it among the underachievers. Look at verse 34. "And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains." They are underachievers, not underachievers. In all the other tribes, there was a remnant of the enemy left in place, and the enemy of God. Canaanites, Jebusites, all other type of ites. But with Dan just got whooped. Dan got spanked and was sent running up the mountains. Why? Go back to Judges 18, by the way. Go back to Judges 18. "Why had until they did an inheritance among the tribes of Israel not fallen to them? Because Dan refused to obey God." If you will allow me to say it this way, they obeyed him the wrong way. And they didn't take when instructed told to do so. Folks, in the same way, some people will not have an eternal inheritance with Jesus Christ because they refuse to obey God and to take Jesus Christ. It's an inheritance that they are told, take my salvation. Take my salvation in Christ, and people, just like the Danites, won't do it. Why? It costs us too much. It costs too much. So what are they doing these days? In Judges chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, they're told that they're going to go search the land. And they're searching because they were unwilling to pay the cost to get what God had given them. "We have seen what God has promised us, but it's just too costly. We'll have to go to war for it." Again, the same is true today. You can have what God has offered us in Christ, but it's going to cost you. Many of you probably know Luke 9:23. Maybe not from memorization, but you're going to know it when you hear it, because it tells us that we're to take up our cross and follow Him. Luke 9:23 says this, "Then He said to them, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Doesn't sound like a lot of cost, does it? But for those who are acutely aware of what that passage says, know that I just left something out of that passage. Did you catch it? It says, "Then He said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily.'" Do you see what the cost is there? The real cost of following Jesus Christ is, let me deny myself. Listen to this verse one more time, because there's a real irony in it. There's a real irony here. "He said to them, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" And so individuals who are unwilling to deny themselves to obtain salvation have now denied themselves salvation. Isn't that ironic? I'm unwilling to deny myself to get salvation. In doing so, I am denying myself. I'm actually denying myself salvation and eternal life with Jesus Christ. I think that's why Jesus says it in Matthew 16 this way, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul?" They obeyed the wrong way. The Danites obeyed the wrong way. They're also going to inquire the wrong way. Now remember what we found back in Micah's house 2 weeks ago? Micah had a Levite. It's kind of like his little toy, whatever, his good luck charm, if you will. Micah had raised up these idols. He had an ephod, he had a shrine, he had idols. And to add to his collection of things that he hoped God would bless him with, he found a little Levite and he made the Levite a priest, which was contrary to the word of God. But now he's got himself a priest. Let's go see what's going on in the house now. Verses 3 through 10. "Because when these five men of valor, come into this land looking and searching for a land. Here's what we find. So they, these are the spies, went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and they lodged there. That's a key word, by the way, folks. They're staying at this man's house. While they're at the house of Micah, they recognize the voice of the young Levite. I'm not sure how. I don't know if a Levite would say y'all or something like that, had some sort of accent. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Oh, that's what so Micah did for me. He's hired me and I've become a priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God, that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way. And buy this napkin and take this little napkin with you and you'll receive the blessing of God." Prosperity preachers are dangerous. Verse 7. So the five men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians. These people were quiet and secure. We're not going to concentrate a whole lot on these Sidonians, but they're quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. That means to put the Israelites to shame, or the Danites, which is good because they don't know how to fight. In a manner, they were far from the Sidonians and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zoar and Eshtol, and the brethren said to them, "What did you report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land and indeed it is very good." And they don't have any swords. "Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people in a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." Let's walk through this section here. They went to the house of Micah and they lodged there. Where did the Danite spies stay? At Micah's house. You may have thought you had rude house guests in the past, or maybe you've been a rude house guest. It's a confession. These guys are going to get really bad. They're granted lodging at this man's house. They're going to come back in a little bit. But they also recognize the voice of this young Levite. And remember, this Levite's acting as a priest, contrary to the will of God. But here's what this Levite says. "How did you get here?" they ask him. "How did you get here in this ministry of God? How did you come into this ministry?" And he says, "Well, that's what so Micah did for me. He's hired me and I've become a priest." How would you like that if that's why we're here? "You guys pay me a little bit and I just come to preach." Folks, when you're considering a church, ask the pastor, "How did you get here?" And then listen carefully to his answer. What's missing from this Levite's answer? "God. I'm here as a servant of the Lord. I'm here because God called me. I'm here because God commanded me. I'm here because I cannot do anything but obey God." That's my testimony. That's my testimony. How did I get to TLBC? Well, I was a pulpit supply preacher for 13 years, 12 years at the time. From 1996, Manchac licensed me and I preached in about 13 churches in the Austin area, Texas area. He came here, Billy Joe. I still remember where I was at in the street. Billy Joe called me. "Hey, I'm Billy Joe McCarty." "Hey, Billy Joe McCarty." He says, "I'm wondering if you can preach for us a couple weeks." "I can preach for you a couple weeks." Didn't know I was going to come and fall in love with the people. But at the time, this church had been hurt by some leadership. They had had an interim. They had a short-term bivocational pastor. He had resigned and the place started to scatter. So that our first Sunday here, there were 41 people and we loved every single one of them. Still do. But I was asked to be the interim. "Would you consider being the interim pastor?" And I remember it being at a godly place of worship, 24-hour fitness, working out. I hated working out at that place. I had to be there for 2 months while AMD gym opened up. I don't like being around people when I left in the gym. But I was meditating on God. And God said, "James, interim means temporary and the church doesn't mean temporary." And that's what God spoke to me at that 24-hour fitness. And as I was walking out, I got another call. This is Billy Joe McCarty. "Hey, Billy Joe McCarty. James, I was thinking, you know, interim says temporary." I'm like, "Oh man, here we go. I know what you're doing, Lord. And I can't do it. I can't work 50 hours a week as a program manager and then still lead a church." He says, "Good. I know you can't. Now step aside and let me lead through you." That's how we got here. the call of God. It's not because, such and such did so and so, and yeah, we're here. Listen, folks, if you're looking for a church, be careful of how the pastor got there. Be careful of how he got there. We'll talk a little bit more about this. And what they asked this man is they said, hey, here's this Levite priest. We're back in the Judges 18. Please inquire of God for us. Sounds like the spiritual thing to do, right? How can I call this section they inquired the wrong way? I mean, they're asking God, right? They want to hear from God. Listen, he's not a priest at the commandment of God. He's a priest at the will of men. Remember, a priest has to come from the lineage of Aaron. Folks, some men go into ministry of their own will rather than the call of God. Secondly, they don't really follow God because when he guided them at the doorsteps of his dwelling place, they refused to listen. What am I talking about here? Pause with me for a minute. Make your way to the book before this. Go into Judges or Joshua 19. Remember I told you they came into this land and each of the 12 tribes was given an inheritance and told, here, go get this land. Well, what I want us to do is I want us to look at that moment. I want to look at that communication. And in Joshua 19, verse 51, here's what we find. They've given the land. He's explained to each one, here's where you're supposed to get the land. In Joshua 19, verse 51, these were the inheritance which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of Israel divided as an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord. Their instructions to take the land came from the very lips of God at the tabernacle of meeting. Continue reading this. At the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they made an end of dividing the country. Go back to Judges 18. Their instructions initially to take the land came at the very tabernacle where God's glory was known to come down and overwhelm the place. So that people stood at a distance and could see God coming into this place. That's where they got their instructions to take the land. And now they're getting it from a two-bit priest. And, we're supposed to follow somebody? No. They're inquiring the wrong place because they had it from the Word of God Himself. And they refused to follow it. Finally, never follow a spiritual leader who is blatantly in violation of God's Word. Church, I'm about to give you a charge that Paul gave Timothy. And you may one day find yourself in a position where you absolutely don't want to do what the Word of God tells you. Because it may mean you have to run me off. Go with me to Timothy. Here comes your charge. Hold your place in Judges 18 here. This you have to see. Folks, this you have to do. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Staff, elders, deacons, here's your charge. Members of TLBC, here's your commandment instructed by the Word of God. Talking about the elders. Verse 19, 1 Timothy 5. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. That is a preservation and a protection mechanism for me and for those who are on staff. Don't take an accusation unless it comes from two or three witnesses. Okay, that's a protection mechanism. However, this next portion, verse 20, those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that all may fear. What is your charge if I'm caught in grievous sin? What is your charge if I teach heresy from the Word of God? It's to rebuke me openly. And any leader that enters into sin. Any leader. And I'm convinced that my son and my brother-in-law will do that. I am absolutely convinced they will do that. And they can be absolutely sure that I will do the same. Those who are sinning, rebuke openly. Why? Verse 21, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice and you do nothing
with partiality. I am bound by the Word of God. These men are bound by the Word of God. You are bound by the Word of God. Don't follow a leader who blatantly disregards the Word of God. Go back, if you will. Go back. Tough message, isn't it, that portion? They're about to run off with this promise. The raw promises, for God has given it into your hands. Listen, a reference to God does not guarantee the presence of God. Just because somebody invokes the name of God doesn't mean much. I hear a phrase quite often, and my family's going to know where it comes from. This is the Jesus holy truth. Makes me want to puke. Just because there's a reference to God does not guarantee the presence and truth of God. Now, they're going to inquire things the wrong way, and we're going to continue with our text. So, right now they've obeyed the wrong way, they've inquired the wrong way, now they're about to acquire the wrong way, and here's where the house guests get really out of hand. Verse 11. And 600 men, in Judges 18, verse 11, and 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zoar and Eshtol. They're armed with weapons of war. They went up and they encamped in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. Therefore, they call that place Mahanah-Dan to this day. Don't quote me on that. There it is, west of Kirjath-Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountain of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. They're back. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land of the country of Lash answered and said to their brethren, "Hey, do you not know there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now, therefore, consider what you should do." So they turned aside there and they came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and they greeted him. The 600 men, armed with their weapons of war, who were the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Catch this visualization there. At the gate, 600 men. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up, entering there. They took the carved image, they took the ephod, they took the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" He's standing next to 600 watching five carry out the goods. "What are you guys doing? What are y'all up to?" And they said, "Be quiet! Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. It is better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you should be a priest to the tribe and a family in Israel." So the priest's heart was glad. Then he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved images, and he took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. Listen, they came to the house of Micah. The spies had returned to Micah's house. And what did they find there? The ephod, the household idols, the carved images, and the molded images. And they asked themselves, what should we do? What should they have done? What did Gideon do? Gideon was instructed to destroy the false idols of worship, the false temple, the false altar. Destroy the false things instead. The five men who had gone to spy out the land enters and they take these carved images. "We're going to pay back your hospitality by taking all your false elements of worship, but not to destroy them." Now, we've all had bad house guests before, or maybe we've been a bad house guest. Do that five-finger discount. Take that stuff. And the priest said to him, "What are you doing?" And the priest was at the gate, and he's witnessing this theft. This is the man. What's his assignment? Guard and utilize these things for the worship of Yahweh God. That's what he's supposed to be doing. But when they convince him, they say, "Be a priest. Be a father to us. Is it better for you to be a priest of the household of one man, or that you be a priest of the tribe and a family in Israel?" You know what this priest is thinking? "I can have a bigger ministry this way." So the priest's heart was glad. He just got a pay raise. He just went to a bigger congregation. Woohoo! Sadly, some churches are but stepping stones to higher pay and better perks. Sadly, some churches are stepping stones to pastors trying to work their families out of the poverty level. Lord, you keep them humble, and we'll keep them poor. The pastor will answer to God for how he is taking care of God's flock. The flock will answer to God
at how they've taken care of his pastor. They will. God's flock will answer for how they've taken care of God's servant. So what does he do? He takes. Now this is funny. Where are you guys going with those things? Put your hand over your mouth. Be a child of this. Oh, okay. Let me carry it. He took it from there. They got it out of the house, and then the priest takes it from there. Look what this passage says. He took the ephod. He took the household idols, the carved image, and he took his place among the people. You know, what could be worse? Here, when he took it. You see, the Levite quickly transferred from, what are you doing to here? Let me carry those things for you since I'm now your priest. I'll carry the booty, the loot, the goods, the gods, the idols. He took. Now, what's worse, folks? A man, i.e. Micah, leading his family into idolatry, or a priest or a minister or a pastor who leads a tribe or a church into idolatry? And please note that an expanding, growing ministry is not always a godly thing. It's not always a godly thing. And then they turned and they departed, and they put the little ones, the livestock and the goods in front of them as they're marching this way. Why? Wouldn't you want your warring army in front of where you're going? No, they're going to put the little ones in front. Why? Because they know what's about to come from behind. And it does. And it does. Because Micah's coming to get his goods, but you know what? He's pursuing the wrong way. Verses 22 through 26. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and they said to Micah, what ails you? What's your problem, man? That you have gathered such a company. So he said, you have taken away my gods which I made and the priests, and you've gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, what ails you? And the children of Dan said to him, do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you. Try that next time you're in the mall and some kids are bothering you. Don't let your voice be heard around us, lest angry men fall on you, and you lose your life. With the lives of your household, look, have you heard that before? I'm going to kill you and your household. These guys are talking tough. The sad thing is, they're going to do it. Not to Micah, to a city in Laish. They're going to do that. Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned back and went to his house. He says, you have taken away my gods, which I made. Folks, if your God can be taken away, and if you can make your God, you've got a poor God. You don't have the true God, Jesus Christ. He says, you've taken away the priest. I mean, can you picture Micah following the Danite saying, you have my precious. My precious. Look like Gollum. And what more do I have? He says. I cannot worship without my idols, he says. And you know, we laugh at Micah while we cling to our own idols. Do you have to have that to worship? Do you have to have this to worship? You have to have this to worship? Are you clinging to your idols? Guitar, drums, music has to be so loud, has to be so soft. We have idols. And I've heard people say to me, and I really, really, really have to be careful and walk off. I just can't worship without... And you fill in the blanks. And I want to ask them, what part of Christ's death for your sins, His burial, and His resurrection is insufficient for you to worship? That you've got to have something in addition to His death for your sins, His burial, and His resurrection. Folks, two books. Which one of these is meant for worship? Which one is meant for praise? Don't mix the two up. Otherwise, the Baptists are going to quickly have their own version of the Book of Mormon. Listen. A person can forget their Bible and lead somebody to Jesus Christ with a hymnal. They can. But only because the hymnal contains what's written in the Word of God. It is the Word of God. This is not the revelation of Jesus Christ. Neither are our praise hymns. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is where individuals get saved, by responding to what God has declared about Himself. And yet, we have to be careful. This isn't to be worshipped either. Now, I know that's making some people real uncomfortable. Let me explain what's going on. I've had some seminary classwork. And at that seminary, it's a great seminary for teaching people the Word of God, but their Trinitarian formula is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scriptures. They worship the book instead of the person of the book. And you know what the distinction is? If all this does is get into the cranium and nowhere near the cardial, if it stays in the head and never moves to the heart, the Scriptures have become your idol. And if it's knowledge without a change, it's meaningless worship. It's meaningless worship. And you're pursuing God the wrong way. Instead of pursuing the Danites, Micah should have been pursuing God. And in a very, very quick last section, in Judges chapter 18, the final portion, verses 27 to 31. So they took the things Micah had made, and the priests who had belonged to him, and they went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. I think the implication there is there was no survivors. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob. So they rebuilt the city and they dwelt there. They've got the same military planning we do. Go into a nation, destroy it, and then spend billions of dollars to build it back up. And they called the name of the city Dan after the name of Dan, their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Lash. Now here's the portion I want you to catch. Verse 30. Then the children of Dan set for themselves the carved image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he had made, all the time that the house of God was at Shiloh. The children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image. So they set for themselves Micah's carved images, which he made, all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. They're accepting false worship all the time that true worship was available. And I'm amazed at how many individuals make a determination on church based on the music, not on the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Now here's a controversial portion. It's a neat, interesting point, because it seems like there was some textual controversy, if you will. Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh. This is the controversial passage. The biblical Hebrew does not have vowels in it. And depending on what vows you put into the original text, you can either get that he was the son of Manasseh or the grandson of Moses. And the point was this. It only takes two generations for the children of Moses to get into idolatry. He died on the mountain in the presence of God, and his grandkids are filling houses with shrines. It only takes one generation. It only takes one generation to miss Jesus Christ, because each and every generation has to come to him. And every generation has to bow the knee. So it really doesn't sound like anything really bad happened to the tribe of Dan, does it? And they went in, they conquered their city, right? Go with me, last time you're going to turn a page to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Last time you're going to turn in pages for this sermon. I'm going to read verses 1 through, go all the way through 8? Yeah. I'll give you a second. I really appreciate hearing the pages turn. Thank you. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes, of the children of Israel. Now folks, it's going to make some folks upset here, but all of these guys are witnesses for Jehovah. Not a single one of them is a Jehovah Witness. Jehovah Witnesses are a cult. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's a cult. Not the old cult, but that's a cult. Now let's go through this list of the 12 tribes. The tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. The tribe of Gad, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Zebulun, the tribe of Joseph, the tribe of Benjamin. What tribe is missing? The tribe of Dan. In their idolatry and in their history, they were replaced. Let's pray.